We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to the Panther Point of View, bringing you an inside look to UNI athletics, taking you closer to the action with UNI coaches, student athletics, and Panther insiders.
Hello and welcome to the ever loyal Panther Nation. This is the Panther Point of View podcast. I'm your host, Elliot Clough, at UNI Elliot on Twitter. Make sure before we get started today that you subscribe or follow, depending on where you're listening to this podcast. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you leave that rate and review. It really helps us out, helps us show the world these UNI athletes. And one of those UNI athletes is basketball big man, Austin Fife. Austin, how you doing today, man?
Doing great. Glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited to have you. Coming off a huge win over number 16, St. Bonaventure, this last weekend. That was really fun, man. And that's just another big game early in the schedule. You've had your share of big games at UNI. Does that big game feeling like ever fade away? Or is that something that sticks around, sort of the butterflies, if you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely one of those that sticks around. I mean, winning at Colorado a couple years ago was another big one that I've been a part of. And then just look at conference games, even if it's not against a ranked team, just getting those big wins is huge. And I'd say that as time's gone by, it's not as exciting as that first, I'd say, but you still get that, like you said, that butterflies feeling and just that feeling of excitement that it's hard to explain, but it's awesome.
Sure. And playing on the road with those two wins. I mean, if you look back at Colorado, I'm sure obviously it's way different. Does it make it more difficult winning on the road, especially on top of the fact that you're facing a talented team and they have the home field advantage, like your home court advantage, I guess, with fans and momentum. And I mean, St. Bonaventure, their fans were nuts. I was not expecting that at all.
Yeah. It's definitely something that, I'd say plays a part in it. I mean, I think our home crowd in any game, but especially big games, really help us. Say we're going on a run, crowd supports us. That run just keeps going longer than I think maybe your run would go. Like on the road, St. Bonaventure had a big run, and their crowd was amped up, going crazy, and you're able to feed off that. But when it's said and done, and you win, I mean, you love winning at home, love winning in front of your home crowd, but it also feels, I wouldn't say better, but there's that kind of, there's that feeling of confidence and kind of a little swagger when you went on the road, and when you're walking out, all the fans are still booing you and all that kind of stuff. It's a cool feeling as well.
So, like I said, you've had your fair share of big wins in your tenure here at UNI. That one was a big one. Where would you say it would rank for your wins and your biggest moments here at UNI?
Yeah, wins, I'd say it's definitely top three up there. Like I said, the other ones at Colorado was a big one. And just for our season that we had going, giving us a chance that at large bid was big. And then still, I'd say to this day, is 2 years ago when we won the outright conference championship at Drake in front of a sold out crowd and beat him pretty good. That's still probably number one for me up there.
Yeah, not only an MVC rival, but beating another team in state, that had to feel good too.
Yeah, and securing that conference championship, a little 3-1 action right there.
So with that win, I mean, we got to talk about AJ too, man. That was crazy. 35 points, 9 of 15 from 3. I mean, we all knew he was going to get into a rhythm eventually, but he he did a little more than get into a rhythm. Was there like, you know, this is kind of the Michael Jordan effect on basketball, I guess, but was there like something in his eyes? Could you tell it was going to be different at some point during that game?
Yeah, I mean, we all know, all you and I fans have seen what he's capable of doing, taking over games. He's done it so many times here in his career. And I mean, we've seen flashes of it this season, but to what you said, that look in the eyes, it's one of those things. After he hits a couple, it always starts, well, if he hits one or two, he'll usually come down and pull up on one pretty quick. And if he hits that one, it's kind of like, you know, it's go time. So if he hits the heat check, you know, it's go time. So, I mean, it was insane. It was, I don't have it for sure, but I think I saw it was like a 17-1 run or something that he had by himself to end the half. And I was happy for us as a team, but just happy for him because, I mean, he zones out all the outside noise and all that kind of stuff going on. But, you know, having those expectations that he does, gets a lot of hate on if he doesn't put up, some would say, video game numbers. So I was happy for him. I mean, as you know, him putting up 35 points, shooting that well from three, we're going to win a lot of games. But, yeah, he gets that look in his eye, and when that kind of happens, we all want to contribute and do our thing, but we know, just kind of let him do his thing for however long it may be that he's hitting shots, and it worked out for us.
And, you know, he wasn't the only one hitting threes. You added two yourself. That's, you know, that's not something we've seen a ton from you over your years at UNI, a little bit, not a ton, let alone two in one game. The attempts have picked up for you, though, so far this season. Small sample size, but they have picked up. And I take it that's something you've been working on.
Yeah, it's always been something that I'd say I've had in my game, not always shown that on the floor. But, I mean, like you said, this year the attempts have been up a little bit, especially as the season goes on and scouting goes on. A lot of times I'll see, like, a double on the block. So just being able to step outside, get a big man out there, get him moving a little bit out there is something I've tried to add and hopefully can continue working on and executing in games.
Did you ever shoot threes in high school, or is this the first time you've really spread out that far in your game?
I actually did quite a bit in high school just because, I mean, 3A Iowa basketball, I was the biggest kid out there, so they just run zones and kind of put three or four guys in there. So that's kind of when I had to start working on that part of my game. And then freshman year here, you and I had made a couple, shot a few, but then didn't really shoot many the next couple of years. Just kind of knew my role on the team, and then just with our offense and starting to get doubled on the block, get my presence down there, kind of opened the door for me to be able to get those shots up beyond 3-point arc, which I like to do. And Coach Jake supports it, so I guess that's all that really matters.
And, you know, spacing has become vital in basketball now. And not only does I'm assuming not only does that help AJ and Trey, Taiwan, Bo, and other guys attack the rim since you can space like that, but I'm sure that helps you as well. Do you ever work on putting the ball on the floor? I know, I'm sure there's a one step power dribble, but are you working on that at all to sort of complement your 3-point shooting?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, That kind of goes in with just the offense that we run overall. Me being able to handle the ball at the top of the key, being able to have the option to fake some handoffs, drive if I want to. And that's just, like you said, having that many great shooters around me opens that up because they're going to be hugged up to their guy. So that opens up those opportunities for me, as well as, like I talked about, on the block, I get doubled here and there. But when we have certain lineups in, me getting doubled to win for us because that means an open three for guys like Trey, Nate Heisey, AJ, Bowen, Taiwan. And if we're getting open threes, horse shots like that, we're going to win a lot of games.
It's just – when you got you, AJ, I mean, and Nate is playing lights out. We'll talk about him in a little bit here. And then Cole pretty much complements whatever you do perfectly in that backup role. Yeah. And I mean, this is just a really, really deep, really, really talented team. Does this team compare to, and I asked AJ this, so I'm curious what you think. Does this team compare to that 2019 team at all? Is that sort of a model you guys are following? Is that something that you guys talk about or think about? Or, I mean, maybe that I bring it up, you think about it now.
It definitely does. I mean, I think this team goes deeper when you look throughout the whole roster. We have more guys that could play, but a lot of the same tendencies, I'd say, from that team 2 years, 2 years ago, with just our offense and having guys like, you think, losing like Isaiah Brown, Spencer Haldeman. Spencer was one of those guys, knocked down a lot of threes for us. Zay was our big defender, would make shots, but do things like that. And Taiwan's really taking over that role, always guarding their best player. He's been doing a great job on that. And then we have so many guys that can hit open shots like Spencer does. But I'd say there's a lot of similarities. But I'd say just that year, a lot of times our starters are playing 35, 36 minutes. But this year we have so many guys and we're getting other teams tired and we're able to go every 3-4 minutes, get a new guy in there and not really – lose much advantage of when you think of the skill we have on the floor.
Sure. And I saw, and I'm sure a lot of fans have caught onto this as well, is that you guys do sort of mass subs from time to time where you 4 in, 4 out. And is that part of your plan? You sort of wear out the other team. And not only that, but it helps you guys stay fresh going later and later into the season. I mean, basketball is not a short season and you play a ton of games too.
Yeah, it's definitely something. I mean, we haven't just talked about like we're gonna sub four guys in at a time, you know what I mean, like things like that. But we really want to push the ball in transition, get other teams tired, and just have a lot of pace in our offense, make the defense guard a lot of actions. And it's just hard for a team that you think can only go 7 or 8 deep just throughout a duration of a game to keep up with that pace and that up and down the whole game. So it's something that we know that we have this depth and we know like we're going to do what we can to use it to our advantage.
And so when we're talking about this depth, we're talking about all the guys that you have on this team. Mentioned Cole, mentioned Bowen. Let's go back a little bit further prior to this win against the St. Bonaventure. You guys did start the season 1-3. Nicholls State was sort of a fluke loss. AJ trying to get his feet under him for the first time. After the surgery, you know, lost to a good Vermont team without Cole Henry, without Bowen, and then fell to number 13, Arkansas. So quite a bit of circumstantial stuff going on, playing some really, really good teams. And then AJ coming back, having to get into a groove. Was there any level of panic is a very strong word, but panic or worry for you guys when things weren't quite going the way you wanted them to over those first four games?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at all those games. I mean, Arkansas, you look at, that's kind of our first game. We really got our offense going, playing the way we wanted to play. But when we watch that film, you look at 4 or 5 mistakes we made, and that's a whole different outcome. I mean, the score of that game wasn't what the game actually was. It was a back-and-forth game the whole time. But I'd say just those first two games, we weren't panicked. It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, it sucks. We lost two games that we feel like we have the talent and ability to win those games. But we knew that things were going to get turned around. We're going to keep it going. I mean, you look at how we shot those first two games. It was nowhere near what we're capable of doing. So I'd say there was a little like frustration more than panic, just because we knew that we're good enough to compete with anybody and beat anybody in the country. So I'd say there's that frustration, but I think we've known from day one what we have and what we're capable of doing.
So with some of that frustration, you know, making more shots now, do you feel like you and the team have kind of righted the ship, or at least found those glaring things and fixed them, and will continue to improve as the season goes on, obviously. But those glaring things from the first few games, do you feel like you guys have really focused on those and maybe not, you know, you're never going to be perfect, right? But yeah, but yeah, improve to a point where you feel like you're going to consistently win games going forward.
Yeah, we starting with the making shots thing, we know we're not going to make all our shots. Everybody misses shots. We're going to have games where we don't shoot well. So we've kind of focused more on control the things we can control. I mean, if we're not making shots, our defense has to be that much better. One of those things. And we talk a lot about not fixing everything, but say we have 13, 14 turnovers a game, take away five of those just by making a simple pass, simple play on defense, just not trying to do too much, just be in your position to guard, do your job, and just kind of focus on those things. And I think that's helped us a lot. A lot of guys not trying to do too much in a situation where maybe the other team's going on a run, just sticking to what we do and letting the game come to us. And then a lot of the times those little things that we're working on and improving will lead to us making open shots, and then everything after that comes a lot easier.
I tell you what, it sounds like I'm talking to Coach Ben Jacobson himself.
Don't say that.
He's taught you a few things over the years, huh?
Yeah, been here a while. I guess it's kind of fair now. 5 years of you.
Right. So more big stuff, big picture stuff for you before we talk more about this season at hand. You've been at UNI, like you said, 5 years. Yeah. When you came in, you were kind of known as Steve Fife's son, at least for the diehard Panther fans that may not have paid attention as much to Waverly or to high school basketball in Iowa. Do you think you kind of shed that label? Are you Austin now as opposed to Steve Fife's son?
I think I am. I mean, there's always, you always got the oldies always talking about my dad, asking what he's doing and stuff. But I think I've made it. I mean, there was a couple, there was something I thought it was funny. He was like signing autographs or something. And it might have even been that article, but it was something where it said Austin Fife's dad, Steve. So there's always the other way around. So it was like, it was just kind of cool to see that, just kind of have it switched there. But no, I'm still always privileged to have, like, be his son and be called like Steve Fife's son. I mean, it's just how much of a family culture you and I is, and all those, just all the people that support us and are around our team so much. It's always fun to have those conversations and hear about my dad back in the day and all that kind of stuff.
So with that said, would you, and I'm sure you've got this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Would you say that you come from a basketball family? Was it like basketball and that was your future and there was no other way around it? Like, you were going to play basketball at the collegiate level?
I always, yeah. It was always, my parents were great with me though. Like, it was my choice, my option. They were never going to pressure me into making that decision. Both my mom and dad always wanted me to be at least a two-sport athlete throughout school, just to have something always, just to kind of get away from basketball for however long it may be. Like, I'll still work out and stuff during whatever that is. So I golfed in high school as well, just kind of just have that something, not get burnt out on the game 24/7, even though I was still doing workouts and stuff like that during the golf season. But it was just nice to have that other thing. But they were I'll talk about my sister, for example. She swam at UNI, and she had a bunch of Division II basketball offers. So, and she chose swimming over basketball. And that was one of those things where when my mom was happy, you know what I mean? They were both super happy for her, but you know, it hurt my dad a little bit just because he's loves basketball, loves a game. But when she chose swimming and just how much my parents supported her and my dad supported like her decision, even though deep down he probably wanted her to play basketball, but it just made me feel like I wasn't pressured to go play basketball. It's not like I have to do this. It's still my option.
Sure. And did you, you know, once you got that offer from UNI, getting recruited by Coach Jake, was there a consideration of going anywhere else? Or, you know, similar to saying you're a basketball family, was it kind of UNI right away and that was it for you?
Yeah. I did the whole recruiting process. Went on quite a few visits to a lot of other places, but deep down I knew that I was probably always going to be UNI for so many reasons, but I still went out and explored. My parents wanted me to go explore, even though they knew deep down that was going to be UNI. But I still wanted to go out there and just experience and make sure that I wasn't just choosing UNI because of my family history and all that kind of stuff. Made sure I was choosing it for myself.
So how important was and has been your dad for basketball, for your growth there? Because I'm sure, I mean, it was his passion, obviously, but and I'm sure for parents, when they see that potential that you had at that point in time, it's difficult not to be just coach instead of being dad and coach or what have you. How important has your dad been for your growth in basketball?
Yeah, I mean, from the very beginning, since I picked up a basketball, all my youth teams, not like AAU, but all like my school youth teams, he was the coach, which always helped me. I was always growing up maybe a little more advanced than everybody else, so he kind of held me to higher standards and pushed me and taught me in numerous ways just to get better day in and day out. And then just throughout he's done a great job of, once I kind of reached that high school level, he would still talk to me about stuff, but he wasn't one of those dads that was like coaching from the sidelines or telling me what I need to do or telling a coach blah 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 about something. Just super supportive of everything I've done. And then even now here at UNI, like, we'll talk basketball all the time, but he's never going to be someone that's going to step in and tell me I need to do something that's better for myself and not better for the team. So I've really appreciated that. Now everybody's lucky enough to have someone that's just supporting me, doing what I love, not trying to tell me, like, he'll support me and give me advice, give me tips, but he's not going to yell at me at this stage for doing something that I should be doing for maybe life after basketball, after college and stuff like that.
Sure. And so, you know, we talk about your dad, we talk about some of the influences you've had in your basketball career, but you've been here at UNI for a lot of different teams. There's been a ton of different dynamics over this last 5 years, yeah. Different levels of talent, all that. And AJ and I talked about Seth Tuttle and his influence on the program. And that's been a consistent thing, is talking about what Tuttle has brought to the program since he's returned to the staff. With when I've interviewed Luke McDonald, when I interviewed Spencer Haldeman, and then of course AJ, the few times that I have there. Is there any other player that's been a big part of your growth here at UNI? I mean, like I mentioned, the Luke McDonald, you've had Bennett Cook as a teammate, Ted Freeman, Justin Dahl, any of those guys sticking out, or maybe even a guard or a wing that has really helped you improve?
Yeah. I'd say there was, just one of those names like that you said, Luke McDonald was big. When I took a medical red shirt, he stepped in and started that whole year. And then when I came back the following year, I was starting and he wasn't playing much. And that's hard on anybody in any situation. And that's the year we put in our new offense that we were running as well, the year I was out. And he could have been one of those guys that just went, wasn't playing, just kind of sat there, didn't do much. But he was huge in helping me every day at practice, in games. He would tell me what he's seeing that maybe I'm not seeing. And just that passion he had for us wanting to win, just for you and I basketball overall. And his leadership really helped me be able to maybe now take what he taught me and pass it on to our younger guys like Cole and James, and just knowing that, just taking that experience and just helping out those younger guys.
I mean, I interviewed Luke my senior year of school when I had a radio show at UNI. That is a good dude.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's a tough situation for, you know, somebody else to take over your minutes, but I'm in a way, I'm like not surprised at all that Luke did that.
No. Yeah. It's awesome. It speaks a lot about him and his character, just how much he still cared about winning and how he put team before himself. It was awesome.
And so we talked a little bit about Nate at the top when we were talking about this win this last weekend. He and Cole Henry have both stepped up a ton. Nate had that insane 3-point shot with what appeared to be like less than a second on the shot clock at St. Bonaventure. Yeah. What does he bring to the table for you guys? I mean, how important, like, I didn't get to watch a ton of you guys this last year because I wasn't covering UNI sports like I am now, but I mean, he just appears to me that he's taken a leap in terms of scoring this year and really his role as a whole. What does he bring to the table for you guys, and how important is he to what you guys want to do?
Yeah, he's had an amazing year so far. His overall demeanor has just been so much different, I'd say, than last year. That freshman year is always the game's so fast for you that first year. And this year you can tell he's playing a lot more. I want to say relaxed, but it's not like he's out there playing relaxed, but the game's slowed down a lot for him, and just his ability to score at all three levels. I mean, he's a phenomenal shooter, great at getting to the rim, can hit mid-range shots for us, can kind of do all three well for us. And it's, I mean, a lot of times you have either a shooter or a driver, not very much. You get a guy that can score at all three levels for you. And then just on the defensive end, his athleticism, his communications really picked up, and he's been able to take over the role of guarding some top players from other teams as well. But I'd say the biggest thing is just his overall demeanor and how the game's really slowed down for him, and that's really just improved everything from a great freshman year last year to this year.
He's really a combo guard too, which is really just nice to have. I mean, having a guy that has that level of basketball IQ, but also and being a guard, but also having that length and that size, I'm sure that's super beneficial for you guys.
Yeah, for sure.
So and back to Cole, your backup, I guess, even though you guys split minutes pretty equally. Yeah. Cole's been playing really, really well. I like I said, I think he fits that backup role for you. Incredibly, I mean, it's dang near perfect, but when he has stepped up, I mean, we barely saw him prior to this year. And to be quite honest, I wasn't really sure what to expect, but it's the same thing to me. It appears to me, especially offensively, that Cole has a very high basketball IQ. He's been able to make some really good decisions. What have you seen from him this year?
Yeah, he's, when they're recruiting him, he's, about the same height as me, maybe a little bit taller, long arms, athletic. And he runs our offense so well that we run. Just his ability to use athleticism, use his pace to get the ball moving side to side. Great at reading defenses. Like you said, his basketball IQ is very high, and his ability to make big passes for us in that offense and make the right reads has been huge. And then just he's really improved on the defensive end too, just – knowing his role and knowing what he needs to do, and being able to box out big guy, get some rebounds for us, and be able to push the ball has been really big. So, no, I'm happy with what he's done, and I think he's going to keep showing more throughout the year, and a big piece of what we're doing.
And of course, I mean, he's coming from that 3A level, like you mentioned, not an incredibly high level of basketball, so you're never quite sure what you're going to get. But yeah. I mean, you and I continually pumps out guys that have this level of talent, like you, like Cole, like Bowen, that just show up and do what they need to do and work hard every day. Yeah. Is that a product of Coach Jacobson? Is that a product of just Iowa? What's the story behind that?
You know, I'd say both. when you look at the Coach Jake side of things, I mean, we're going to put in so many hours as a team and do things like that. But Coach Jake recruits a lot of guys that are going to, well, first of all, he recruits good guys he knows are going to work hard and do what they're asked to. But he also recruits guys that he knows are going to put in that extra time, put in what they need to be successful. Guys are going to do their job when they're out on the floor. And a lot of times people think they need to do some crazy things to be successful. But I think a lot of guys have shown, especially like when you look at you and I, just playing your role, doing what you need to do. I mean, look at me. I was averaging like 12-8 and was first team all conference just by having a successful team and just doing what I need to do. I wasn't doing anything crazy, things like that. So I think it shows that just come in, show up every day, work hard, and then Coach Jake's going to do what he needs to do to get a successful team and give you the best chance to be successful as well.
So you got Bradley coming up on Wednesday, then a few more non-conference games, Richmond, Jackson State at home, and then Marshall on the road. And then you go to Hawaii. Are you guys pretty excited for that?
Yeah, it was tough this year because, I mean, we usually always go over Thanksgiving somewhere. This past week, there were a bunch of tournaments going on the whole time, and all places tropical. So it was kind of like, you know, our time's coming, but we're usually over there over Thanksgiving time. But yeah, I'm excited. I've been Cancun, Virgin Islands, Atlantis, all of them. But I've never been to Hawaii, so I'm real excited about this one. Just to be out there, team bonding wise, and just being in Hawaii, but also have the chance to play quite a few good games out there.
And so when you're in places like that, you mentioned the Virgin Islands, Cancun, et cetera, how do you guys stay focused? I have no idea how I would do that.
You know, they do a really good job coaching wise. I mean, it's not like we're just at the beach all, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. Right. Yeah. Some people might think, but it's definitely hard in a way, but you still know what you're there to do and what's most important thing. And our coaches do a good job of that. And there's usually a day off in the tournament at some point. So, cause I think we play the 22nd, 23rd, then we have Christmas Eve off and we play Christmas Day again. And usually that day you have off, you'll still practice and prepare for the team you have up next. But you usually get a few hours to go out and enjoy the beach and do all that kind of stuff. So you get a little bit of both, and it's kind of best of both worlds there.
So now you've got that momentum from this last win. How do you ride that wave and continue to win games throughout this season?
Yeah, just kind of feeling of relief after this St. Bonaventure one. And I mean, after, like we were talking about earlier, there were those frustrations and everything like that. But I think we know now what it takes to win a game. Not that we didn't know that before, but we just kind of have that feeling and that almost little bit of swagger now that we kind of got one under our belt, kind of that feeling of we know that it's might not always be pretty, but we know what it takes to win, and we're just gonna keep going.
There you go. Good stuff. Austin, thanks so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Folks, before you go, again, make sure that you subscribe or follow depending on where you're listening to this show. Also, if you're on Apple Podcasts, you leave that rate and review. That really does help us out quite a bit. And once again, folks, I'm your host, Elliot Clough, at UNI Elliot on Twitter. And this was The Panther Point of View.
This has been The Panther Point of View. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation on the Panther Sports Network.